it was then that we found out that what we thought was faith before was not faith. It was then that we found out, in case you are in doubt, what the writer of the book of Hebrews meant by faith. He now gave us examples of men that actually laid hold of that instrument and lived by it. And when he finished, we didn't see car. When he finished, we didn't see house. When he finished, there was not one thing that was mundane. These men had the capacity to lay hold on things that were eternal. Follow me. Follow me, because there is something that was at work in them. There was something that was at work in them. Let me show you something before I go to what I have. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. He said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What is at work in a hand, in the heart of a man, that will make him deny the right to headship to Egypt? And it was in those days that Egypt was the ruling and the ruling throne of the whole territory. It so happens that the earth was administrated by the throne that was at Egypt. So it so happened that Moses was supposed to be the head. But something happened. He encountered something. He touched something. And then when he touched it, he decided that whatever it be that can be accorded to me, according to the flesh, the natural, the mundane, I forsake it. Meanwhile, you need to know what he meant. What he means is that, for example, he is supposed to be, if the American government operates a monarch, he is supposed to be the next to ascend the throne. He said, no, I prefer to suffer. What did this man see? He said, what? I prefer to suffer. Rather than to be the American president, you will speak in tongues and say, that's where God is, that's where we preach the gospel more. He spoke in tongues and looked for Jesus. He looked for Jesus on the throne of Egypt, he didn't see it. He started looking for where Jesus is. It so happened that Jesus was in the woods. And Jesus was where his brethren was. And there was suffering in their midst. He decided it's better. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he pursued Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is what? How? Are you with me? People are seeing this. Moses is busy seeing him and things that are invisible. By what instrument? You know why I'm telling you this? You will not understand how much what I'm about to pass across to you is important until you see what men have seen. Until you see what Gideon saw. Somebody appeared to him and said, "That mighty man of power." He looked at himself and he said, first of all, I am young. Number two, my family is the least in the tribe of Israel. And inside my family, I'm the youngest. So I'm sure you did not take into account the person you are calling this name. There are many people you could have called. There are many people you could have attested giving that accreditation. If it is somebody like the man that came when Samuel carried on and entered the house of Samuel. No, Samuel carried on and entered the house of Jesse. And men were coming out. The first one came out and his shoulders was like a scapula of Susa. And he said, behold, the Lord's anointed. For the first time, Samuel made a mistake. For the first time, Samuel doesn't make a mistake, but for the first time, he was carried away with the fitting, physical fitting of the man that appeared before him. He looked at him with the bogus tongues and be dressing. He is already ecclesiastical in his dressing. Like that clothes he used to wear. Like the way Jerry is dressed, he's already ecclesiastical. And they began to give him accreditation. Even the man of God was moved. Sometimes men of God are moved that way. They will look at the people and then they will give you, they say, maybe it's no, it's not like that. There is David somewhere. In fact, David is in the field. He was not counted among them that rank. It was there that God was revealing to him the secrets of the days to come. And he was doubting it. But in that book, that is a good place for your encounters to be forced into convictions. When you appear, you tell them, God told me, they will look at you and say, is it not this morning? They won't know what to pass through. Until the day came, he tore the bear with his hands. What we make a man tear a bear with his hands is the spirit of mind that is at work. Meanwhile, there were convictions that was punished in his heart that made him attempt that thing. You can't attempt it. Are you with me? They said some encounters are forced into convictions. Then when you come out, you see a lion, a bear, if you see my skin is small, you know who. Paul said, I know whom I am, and I'm persuaded. There is a persuasion that comes from that kind of faith and belief that makes a man dare things that are impossible. You look at it by the natural, then there is no singular advantage from the natural. Yet he believed. He said, I know whom. My faith came from a person. It's as a result of an encounter with a person that some things were furnished in my heart, and I stay long in the woods. And I grew that thing. When I came out, men still thought I was the least in the family. They didn't know that the thing that is at work and the convictions he has brought in me and the spirit that he has kept upon my life is such that he can make it possible become possible. You need to hear their testimony here. The things that began to manifest out of their life as a result of those encounters, the convictions that were furnished in their heart. It was tremendous. Even some of us that grade ourselves aside has not even touched the embers. That's why when we come before God, we need to be humble. If there is nothing you can come before God to interact with, that the principal thing is humility and meekness. Scripture said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Then in what? You will never be able to achieve anything except you humble. In fact, it doesn't matter if you know this verse in the scripture. Anytime the scripture is brought afresh, something you know, the scripture even spoke concerning the matter. He said, come with meekness to the engrafted wall that is able to what? Build you up. This scripture has a will of its own. That is why you cannot actually be built up in a Bible school. Except as you are in that Bible school, we are humble enough to understand that the teacher has no key to bringing you to the experience of the text. That there is a real teacher, the Holy Ghost. It is when your teacher is teaching and the Holy Ghost teaches you thereby that you are being taught. So you can know one half and become a doctor of this scripture. Doctors of law according to the scripture. But they were not, as they are searching the scripture, they didn't know that the one they are searching was the one that appeared, and they killed him. The scripture, this one, he has a will of his own, and he begins to open to men that come with meekness, admitting that their life and sustenance lies therein, and they will stay there until the chapters begin to open to them. That is where they receive the resources to run their life from. Follow me now. Follow me, because the convictions that come into your heart will determine how far you are willing to lay hold on the resources that it takes to prosecute your destiny. These are men that saw things and they looked at their physical capacity. They now found out that they are not able. They have to stay and carry until they are clothed with might. Might is that which subsumes the weakness of your humanity. It makes the mortality seem as if it's a light thing to bear. It's might. And God specializes in working in that way. That is why the scripture testified in a certain place. He said that he has taken the mighty things of, he has made it foolish. And he has taken, in fact, the scripture said that the wise men of the earth, the prudent, they were not able to enter into these matters that we talk about. God decided to raise men. Just if you are willing to yield to him, he will raise you a mighty man. This is the testimony of mighty men. I'm telling you how mighty men are forged. How strength is being forged inside of them. How strength is being, they are molded that the very life that they live became a testimony of the work that we should have upon the face of the earth. Men like Maria Woodward Eka. That woman married two husbands with 12 children or 13 children. But the Holy Ghost worked with her so much. She was such a principality that one of the challenges that Alexander Dowie began to have in his ministry was when he castigated that woman. Yes. Because your presence in her ministry was so strange that it could not be explained. It took years for us to explain it with the scripture. Meanwhile, God was insisting that that was insisting that the thing would be manifested. A woman will be preaching and then she will raise her hand and then she will be suspended by the powers of the glory of God in the next session. Those things that Moses saw on the mountains, the woman experiences it. She will come into a city and her evangelism is evangelism by power. Your own is evangelism by talk and mobilization. Let's invite people, let's do advance. No, her own is evangelism by power, by the move of power. It's not people calling, it's the move of power. She will come, she will say, I need some few elders from your church that will tarry with me in prayer. He said, and when they came to the city of Hartford, they prayed. He said, that the power of God will sweep through the city. That the power of God will sweep through the streets. That scoffers, mockers, they will know that there is a God that is alive. And they testify and say that God came wonderfully. He said a certain man came in that city and he came to the meeting and he was doubting. And the word of the Lord was coming from his mouth and he refused to say. He said the Lord struck him down and he fell under power in a trance as if he was dead. And the Lord refused to leave him until he testified of what God was doing. When he testified, a young boy fell under power and began to prophesy. A group of young people said, there is a move of God. All the time, they are praying here. All the time. Let's see them. They went to another city to organize a party. It was in that party without any preacher. There was no preacher. They wanted to put sound. As they put sound, the Holy Ghost invaded a party. No preacher, no minister, no worship. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. What can God do with a mighty man? What can God do? What can God do? Where was Elijah first? We didn't know his story. We just heard Elijah the Tishbite, that is of inhabitants of Gilead, appeared and said, before the Lord God, whom I was. Where was Moses forced? You thought you know. At age 40, he disappeared. The next time we heard about him was age 8. What happened in 40 years? Men like I'm a simple man, person. She appeared in Los Angeles and said, I am the spiritual mayor of this city. I am the spiritual man. She is the gatekeeper. Nothing enters and leaves without her accreditation. She was a custom officer. You now, your small family is a big issue for you. Your small department is a big issue. Your small campus is a big issue. And if I ask you, say you are a man. Are you a man? Huh? Alive. I'm not talking about gender. I'm talking about an office that is occupied in the spirit. When men are so greasy, of strength. I need to show you things that bother men that deep business with God in deep places. There are things that bother them. Not many things you are doing bother them. There are things that bother them. There are things that we are willing to lay hold on. There are things that remove sleep from their eyes. There are things that bother them. They have entered the realm that matters, and they cipher from the natural that which is important and that which is not. When you see those men walk around with you, you will be surprised at the emphasis that they make. Some of the things they hold serious is not important to you, because you are mundane. You have not been brought into a realm where things matter. There is something they saw. They saw the future. They saw. It's not the future. They saw eternity. They were given an eye view by the vista of the Holy Ghost into the things that are eternal in scope. They were carried. That's why men like Paul spoke the way they spoke. He said, I was in the desert of Arabia, and in the tree, he said, I didn't commune with anybody. I came down, he said, by revelation, the things that were eternal in scope were communicated to me. He came out a large man in the spirit. His testimony is what we still fear even in the end of the time. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice say unto me, come up here, I will show you things that will happen even to the end of the time. What men are these? We are their force. Why are you worthless? We need to know the things about that man that did business with God in deep places. It's not these things people do. When you leave, you are forgotten. After 10 years, you are forgotten. No. There were men that never preached the gospel, but they were counted among the heroes of faith. Are you with me? The woman of Zarephath, the one that received her death back to life, was counted among the heroes of faith. Meanwhile, there were men that received bountiful of blessing. They were never mentioned here. But the woman was mentioned. She carried you. He was so robust. The man of God said, what is wrong with this woman? The Lord has hidden it from me. That was the dimension of the oppression that was there. The woman knew that it was her faith, the dimension of conviction that she had about the presence and oppression of God was such that he was able to summon reaction from God. Even the servant of the man of God came and brought word like this. And we really thought it was about the things he learned in school. He wrote nothing happened. He said, let me go and find out, the man of God said. The women, they receive what? They are dead, back to life. Because this man knew that their life was, it is a testimony. It seems as if men that saw them in the natural will think that they are living the life others they were living. No, what you didn't know is that the life of a man of the spirit is like a story God is telling. Are you with me? So when Moses appears in the wilderness and he raises a staff like this, and then a serpent coils around him, and any man that looked upon him live, is you that thought he was just a normal event, is a life in the spirit. And because it's a life in the spirit, he becomes a mirror image of that thing that is about to come. So when Jesus appeared, he said, as Moses raised the serpent, even so, the Son of Man, be what? Every man that allowed God to use him and walk in his spirit and live the life of faith, what is manifest will be obvious through his life, is that in the coming seasons it will be a testimony of them to come. That according as this man lived, that is how I want the generation to walk. Are you with me? So sometimes the dealings and working of God upon the life of a man will be God's dealing upon a generation. A man will embody the hunger and desire, the past of a generation. Anytime he appears, his life, are you with me? His life becomes the desire of a generation. Just like he said yesterday, there we come, the way he's clothing, the movement, the food he eats, he has been molded into the image of his mandate. He has to be like that. He has to be like that so that every single thing about his life will be a representative of divine purpose manifest from his life. Are you with me? The book of Hebrews said that even the physical tabernacle had in themselves certain tokens of divine service, meaning that it was because Moses paid attention to the things that God told him. He began to hold things from the eternal realm. He began to mirror it. Are you with me? because the life we live upon the face of the earth is accurate to the extent that we are able to mirror divine order and dimension. There is nothing new about you. The scripture said, before you entered your mother's womb, I knew thee. So the ordination and the things that formed and forged the entity that is you, beyond the natural that man sees, is an eternal mind, eternal dimension, eternal substance. So for me to understand you and for you to understand yourself, you need to go to the mother realm and begin to see yourself as God sees you. The dimension of the price that you will pay and the alignment that you will bring yourself to be able to bring God's mandate to manifest upon the time realm, fulfilling the agenda and the purposes of God through your life, will be truncated or will be achieved to the extent that you have aligned. You need to see the body that is in the heart of God. You see, Jeremiah appeared and said, I cannot speak. He said, I'm but a child. He said, don't say that. I am the one that knew thee. I forged thee in your mother's womb, and I knew thee. I ordained thee a prophet. Let no man say, I cannot. When the Holy Ghost shall mantle you with me, let no man say, I cannot. When the Holy Ghost shall subdue your weakness, let no man say, I cannot. When God is working, he said, I refuse to speak, but his words are like fire. Shut up in my voice. How many of you is under the sound of my voice? And the Holy Ghost is prompting you to step out. The Holy Ghost is prompting you to take the action. The Holy Ghost is prompting you to move out. But you say, I cannot. He said, my words are like fire. Shut up in your voice. For 1 minute, ask God, show me, bring me to the experience of the things that brought that man that did business with you in deep places.
Understand what is happening here. You don't understand.
It is different from the oppression that is found in the new covenant. Follow me. In the new covenant, the things you touch, if indeed you touch them, we are real. And they are the real essence of the things that we live. But in the old covenant, these men have to live in a certain way that they live, so that they will mirror the coming dimensions of the Christ. Are you with me? So when Moses lived in a certain way, he has to live that way, so that he will mirror a certain dimension of the coming Christ. Meanwhile, for you, the Christ has come. What you need is to mirror your own after Christ, but they have to live in a certain way. That is why some people, are you with me? In the old covenant, God has to insist that some people have to be some kind people and live in a certain way. He will insist. He will insist, not just that you do things for him, but he will do it in a certain way. He said, he told Moses, build according to what? Build according to Father. Because the things I'm about to give to you are the components of a missing garment. There is a church that is coming. There is a tabernacle, a temple. And the construction, the texture of that tabernacle, it will be mirrored in the things that you do. If you make mistake, are you with me? Then there will be a fracture in the coming age. That is why when Moses overdid what he did, he didn't know it was beyond him and beyond the people he was trying to do those things for. It was about a mirroring of the dimension of the coming Christ. And that thing he did it like that, it seemed as if he was part of the whole story. You know what? Those things he did have to be incorporated, so that the justice system of God will be satisfied. Are you not getting the point?
Yes, sir.
So when God puts pressure on you to live in a certain way, it is because there is a demand, a certain standard that is set for a certain entity in the spirit, so that you'll be able to fulfill a certain assignment. He has to put that pressure on you, so that the claims of justice will be fulfilled and the rank and stature will be awarded to you to deliver on that assignment. You will want to be any person, but the assignment will make you a certain kind of person. Are you not seeing it? If it is not for the assignment and the demand that the purposes of God has placed upon your life, you can decide to be whoever you are. But there is a demand. And that demand makes you it puts demands on you that will make you a certain kind of man. By the time you finish, by the time you are halfway through, you will not recognize the man that started. The man that started was a weak man. The man that started was a liar. The man that started was a man full of God. But the man that is now in the middle is a man that is tamed and weak. So that you will be able to take the mold and the shape that it will take for you to deliver on the assignment. Because the man that started was filled with pornography, addiction, sickness, all kinds of things. The man that is where we are now have not taken drugs in the last 10 years. The reason why you have to become that kind of man is because he has to mirror the dimension that God has obtained for you to manifest to your generation. You will become a living example. Remember, the scripture says that we are living epistles. What does it mean? It means that a certain time will come and men doesn't have literally to go to the scriptures. That men that live day to day will become a testimony of the life that is in the scripture. So that if you want to know how scripture will be lived, certain men live it. Are there things in the scripture? Men live it and they will become living epistles. No more in books, but men live it day to day. You look at their life and certain things that were written in scripture as books. Some of them never knew any man can live like that. There are people that never knew, they never understood what is growing until they encountered you. Is it not true? They can explain it in church and say, this is growing, this is it. But you can only give lecture on theoretical basis except God grants you experience into the dimensions of it. Then the texture and authority of your delivery will change, because there is something experience accords to a man when he teaches. He teaches beyond head knowledge. He will try to bring you even to the experience that he himself has passed through. He knows what is important even in the whole lecture. Are you with me? The man bereft of experience will be emphasizing on the minor. But the man that has experience will know the key points. He will know the one that is first, the one that is middle, the one that is last, because he has been passed through the same process. He is a man that is touched with the infirmity, the demand of their generation. Are you with me? Verse By the time you are through, you will become another man. Because the demands of where God is taking you to does not recognize all your weaknesses. It does not recognize your excuses. It does not recognize what is happening in our generation. Yes, a man can live holy even in this evil generation. Your calling will make you to that kind of man. When are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh. In the days of Noah, he has to live that certain kind of life. The whole world was moving one direction and one man was moving another. What did that man see? I need us to see what men saw. What bothered men that did business with God in what? In deep places. It is those things that made them do what they did. And when they found out the importance that is in the heart of God, one of the things that will propel them to do is to begin to see the equipment, the might it takes to deliver on that assignment. You have not seen it yet. If you have seen it, there is a way you cry for might. Even your Savior looked at the enormous assignment that was before him. He said, is it not possible that this call pass over me? The answer that they gave him when he prayed well, are you with me? Was that they strengthened him, they released the spirit of might upon him. Because when it seems as if an assignment is too big for you, the answer is not to draw back. The answer is to what? Cry for might. Cry for might. Cry for might. What do you need? Cry for might. Jerry. I know you want to be a fine man of God. No. The others in your village doesn't recognize this or ecclesiastical blessing. I'm telling you the truth. You see, Matthew, you saw where I was warning you in the spirit. I have already sent warning. I said, this young man has gone. They are carrying you. No, you. So, his letter, he will thank you. He is not now. I'm saving you from wasting 5 days. And then you come back and start doing this thing now. This is what you should have done. And then you leave it and you do many things. Then 10 years later, you start doing what you should have done. People are like that. They will think they will forge a path for themselves. Only for them to find out many years later when the Holy Ghost has finally conquered them. I'm telling you, it took God 5 years to conquer me on the matter. I don't like it. Meanwhile, you can like it too. You can receive 10 years. It's your choice. You need to find out what that meant. You didn't get the point you are making. People like Moses decided it is better to leave the throne of Egypt, the ruling throne on the whole hemisphere of the earth. He should be ruling like this. He said it's better to suffer. It's not just that he rejected it. He rejected it to go and suffer. Ah! Gloria, have me explain this thing. It is, you can't explain it with anything that is natural. That is why I'm trying to take you to the mother realm, the eternal realm. That is where you can be able to see things that bother people. When you see things from that perspective, you will now understand why we have to live a certain kind of life. Why we have to forsake certain kind of things. You know, they preach us in church, forsake the world, do this, and why do you need to do it? You need to be carried to a realm. And then what you will see there will zap out all the desires you have for everything that is in there. Some of us are not trying not to live like the world. We pity the world because of the way they live. Because the things we have seen have shown us that they are dead, they are dying, they are wretched. The things we have seen. We have tasted of the glories of heaven and we became intoxicated with the things that is coming from that realm. the chambers of his glory was opened up to us, and then everything that was mundane lost place in our mouths. Our spiritual test board was recalibrated, and then we began to test for things that is eternal. The things we began to do after that time was not as a result of compulsion. Are you with me? That was the testimony of the one that wrote the book of Romans. He said that the love of God constrained us. From this season onwards, it was not because of rules and regulations, because you listen. No, there is something that compels. There is a drastic encounter that men had, and then it changed their hearts. After many years, men saw Paul. Are you with me? He stood before Agrippa and the heavy men that was ruling in the territory. He said them. He told them, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." There is a heavenly vision. Talk to people. Say you need to see and experience the things that bothered men that did business with God in deep places. Tell your neighbor here. You need to see and experience the things that bothered men that did business with God in deep places. When you see it, you will now find out, first of all, that this mortality is a body. That's the first thing you realize. Have you not realized it? You have not prayed before, and you know that you need to pray more. Somebody met me, said, meanwhile, that this is the most consistent period of his life. His walk with God, this is the most consistent. Well, have you not noticed that as you now get consistency, that the demand will increase? What is wrong? We need to understand it. Are you not getting the point? So, the first thing it brings to you is that you now realize that this mortality, this humanity, mortality, infirmity is a disturbance. Meanwhile, by the Spirit, mortality is a light into the air. By the Spirit. That's the testimony of the scripture. By the Spirit. By the Spirit, a man can be suspended and pray for 3 days. Have you prayed for 6 hours straight? You need to. Not by your own strength, because some people will see me and say, "Pray for me. I want to." Like somebody here now, he's sitting here now. He met me after service last week and said, "I listened to your message, and what I heard is that you gave a young man something, and the thing was too much for him." He said, "Let me tell you, give me my own. It won't be too much." What some people don't know is that we used to struggle for 10 minutes. To pray 10 minutes. Hey! You pray. Check time. It's 1 minute that passed. Has it not happened to you? Then the days you decided, you broke record that day. You now pray for 1 hour. When you wear your clothes and you are coming out, you'll be like, "Didn't you know I prayed for 1 hour?" Are you not feeling? Are you not feeling this thing? Is it not true? That day you prayed it in Kabul. I remember the first message you sent me on WhatsApp. You were telling me of how you people were praying. When I saw how far the journey is, I didn't want to disturb you. It's now you now started the journey that you now realize how far the journey is. You know why some people think they can make it? They have not been on the journey yet. When they put you on the journey, you will not do anything. You start crying for strength and might. The power of God. I don't want to stop anywhere. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be anointed, and then after 5 years, they will testify about me. Do you know the testimony they gave about Saul? They said it was as if Saul was not anointed. The shield of the mighty was broken. He said, "Let the mountains of Gibeah be cursed." For the day that the anointed was about to be killed, they did not rise up to defend him. It means that there is a certain way the anointed one should not die. But we have seen it in our time, in our generation, that the anointed die like fowls. We need to, are you with me? We need to understand what makes men survive. I said this topic is as a result of the fact that I cried last night. I cried, I told God, I want to finish well. Show me his secrets. And he said that the number one thing, there are many things, I won't tell you before, the number one is that you will receive a strength that will capture and subdue all the weaknesses that you. There are many weaknesses that hinder us. Many things you know you should do to be able to stand, you won't do it. Things will come your way and they will place demand on your character. And on that day, the pressure will be so much that you will take a decision that will be adverse to your calling and your destiny. Meanwhile, it is not as if you want to. If you meet those people, they will tell you they don't have any choice. Are you with me? You are not with me. There are certain, let me use first, there are certain pastors that err, not because they want to. I know of many. I know one. I know one that started somewhere that he doesn't collect offering, he doesn't do anything. Yeah? The way he survives is that when he finishes, if they draw plantain, he has been carried, and him and his children will be eating. Until life presented things to him that his strength was not able to carry. Huh? Then he changed. He changed so much that he loved money. To the point, you know, I'm not saying he liked money, he loved money. I won't tell you the testimonies of the things he did about money, because loving money is not equal to, in fact, people that don't have money love money more. That's what I found out. Yes, no. It's people that don't have money that love money. People that really have money, they can leave it and be doing other things that is important. That is why you should understand the place of money, why you need to have money. The reason why you need to have money is so that you have time for God. Somebody was telling, I wrote something on Facebook, and somebody came and said that how can you reduce the prophetic dimensions of God to the things that is mundane? And I asked the person, what is your work? The person works from 8 to 5 in the night. He will leave, if you are in Lagos, you leave by 4 or 5. Then the traffic will hold you till 8-9. And then you wake up and say, Jesus, I thank you, reach for, and then sleep. And you say, is that person not under the grip of Mammon? Mammon, he doesn't know that Mammon has captured the strength of his mind. He has captured the most important dimensions of his day. He just thinks, just because he doesn't talk about money, doesn't mean he doesn't understand the functionalities of Babylon. Babylon enters subtly. It will make you subject to their oppressions without you knowing. You labor from morning till night just to make ends meet. You don't understand Babylon. That is what you need is to have money so you have time for God. So that if they say we are meeting by 4, you come by 4. If they are leaving by 8, you leave by 8. There are people that are not affording it. If you do it, you will go hungry that day. You are serving money. You need to trust God to break up from that cycle. It's a vicious cycle. And that is why this generation has to be delivered from now. That is why the kingdom must gravitate to a place where we break the cycle of 8 to 5. I believe that. How many of you believe it with me? Yeah, we will break the cycle of 8 to 5. Because when you come sometimes, the reason why we make progress here is that men have been charging this place this morning. Okay, you come here tired. Even you say you are coming to Ginger, is it not to come up? That's what we imagine if you come up and come like that and they gave you money and you are the one starting. That means you won't do business today. We will dwell in low places. That is how they zap your energy in that place. You come tired, hungry. Many things happen during the day. You just come. Not because you want, it is money. If you had option, are you with me? If you had option, you just walk. You don't know how they walk abroad. They walk by time. Calculate yourself. You pray from 4 to 6, study from 6 to 7:30. Go to work, do the first one, 4 hours. You go, do your afternoon lunch, pray, rest more, meditate, and the visions and ideas of God will flood your heart. You go back and work 3 more hours. Stop by 4. Come and gather yourself. You sometimes come here 30 minutes before time. Try it. You will notice that day you will benefit more. Because you'll be able to gather yourself out of the day's activities and fix yourself faster to what God is doing. If you come late, you will notice that if you take you time to even understand what we are doing, you will struggle to follow. If it's not the way we do here, like the way that guy he did you the other day, if you don't understand the way we do, you will even be offended. They will call, that was my friend, and they will teach you to what God is doing. There are some places you will go. They will even allow you to crawl. And you go to church for 3 months. There is no improvement in your life. Are you not bothered? Let's tell ourselves the truth. The pace that you are moving, in your life, that's not how God set it in the kingdom. How many years have you been born again now? Is a time in antiquity. It has been so long he forgot. Don't laugh, because I know when you got born again, and I know how much you should have improved. Where are the people laughing? You have gone to Bible school now. It is when you finish, you now realize that the answer is not in the Bible. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. Let them go and get the knowledge. It's good. When they now come out, they will now see that thing counts for little, very little. It's something, but it counts for little. It counts for so little that anyway, the one you went for is good, but there is the other one. An atheist can go there successfully finish. There are many Bible schools, 80%. An atheist, Muslim, all kinds of people can pass through it and finish. But the reason why I say your own is good is because I know that they do 7 hours beginning in tongues. If you are an atheist, it will show. You know why we pray the way we pray? You can easily know an outsider when you come here, is it not you? You don't need to ask. You can easily know. When we start, you know outsiders. If you are an outsider, we will know. Because men will take position and be changing their side. And then an outsider will be reading what is happening here. Hey, Jesus, save me, yo. Emotions will be going through the person, both anger, both sadness, both dissatisfaction, both who are these people, what are they doing, all kinds of things will be going. Then after 30 minutes, you will now start seeing the Holy Ghost zapping through the environment, zapping, moving. You see, the God here. Sometimes, that day, sometimes, after 2 days, humility will start entering. You will now start saying, God, see myself, this thing is true. If it's true, I don't want to follow it. I'm hoping it's true. If it's true, I don't want to follow them and be doing. I know nothing is happening to me. But if it's true, just be helping me small. I was in your shoe. Many years ago, I was in your shoe. So I understand. When I see those people, I understand. But meanwhile, you will know. Because this man will climb shape and say, Kabakwa. I will leave you behind and climb to the heights of Zion. You'll be wondering, what are these people saying? Until one day the spirit will enter you. Ezekiel said, the spirit enter. Then you begin to understand. You now see that the understanding, there is what we call spiritual understanding. Say spiritual understanding. There is nothing cognitive training can give you on that basis. It is things that you lay hold on that is communicated to you as a result of experiences and things you touch in the spirit. And any attempt to try to
and decipher, demystify those things in the natural, you will experience a fracture. Eh? You will experience a fracture. Because these things are embodiments and tokens of the oppressions of a person that is fundamentally spiritual. Are you with me? According as the scripture testified in the book of John chapter 4, he said that for God is what? Spirit. What is the consequence of that? The implication of God being a spirit is that they that we worship him will do so what? That's the challenge. The consequence of God being a spirit is that the content, the mode, the facilities, the oppression we have to be spiritual for you to touch, for you to say you worship. You know, I don't know how long you have been, so you know, we can come and do praise and worship. I don't know the names in David. I need to tell you that when you finish that 3 or 4 hours, it's possible that the God content that was there is not more than 10 minutes. I was there, I'm not saying this thing to you to understand me. The reason why I'm here is that I was burdened, and God sent me to help people like me who have stayed in church for 10 years and began to wonder, is this all that is to God self? Is this how we are going to continue? Now like this we go the day. Meanwhile, sometimes you'll be carried in your visions and you have some encounters and you will have an eye view, small, of the things that God can do and the things that he even wants to do through you. You look at the natural. Is it like this we are going to get there? I was bothered too. And I began to ask the real questions. You see, God is not a talkative. Well, he can answer any question. So the first thing that you need, first of all, learn how to ask questions. If you don't know how to ask questions, you will receive an answer. You know, some people say, I don't hear God, I don't know how to hear. One of the major reasons is that you don't know how to ask questions. Have you not noticed there are things you ask me, I won't answer? There is one more thing I want to bring up for the book of Hebrews. I don't even know if I will be able to show you what we need to see today. He said, did I land here? If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
He said, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, we are drowned. The Egyptians saw what was happening and thought that there are people that will do it. Do you know somebody can enter here and say, is it not this young man, this small boy that is doing all this? If this small boy can do it, we can do it. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. That's what the Egyptians wanted to do. It's the same Moses we know. What is it that is special about Jesus? We can do the same thing. Until they enter inside the Red Sea, they will now find out, are you with me, that they lack the encounters that you have. They will now find out that they lack the convictions that you have. They will now find out that they lack the backing that you have. They will now find out that they lack the equipment to navigate. There is, when you find this yourself inside the Red Sea, how do you navigate? It is not inside the Red Sea you start looking for instruments. It's before you enter. Somebody told him, enter, and then enter. And he was walking confidently. And you look for far. My people used to give proverbs. They say that if an elephant is cultivating, the thing used to sweet the tortoise. Eh? Any narco. If the elephant is cultivated, the way he walk is done like this. The instructor will be jumping. And then after 10 minutes, he say, my waist, my back, and then he will disappear. See, he doesn't know the Christ. He doesn't know what Moses passed through. That he took him 40 years to receive the rod. Stretch it, Adarese. Stretch it, my friend. And you saw him moving and you followed him like this. Only for you to enter the middle. The scripture said they are, the Egyptians are saved and followed. And came in the middle, and the Red Sea probably swallowed them. It will swallow you indeed. And what shall I say more? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, see men. I don't know you, eh? I will advise you to put your name here. Look at mighty men. He said, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith, what? Subdued, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. You know what I told you? Huh? Follow me. I told you that there are things that bothered men that did business with God. In what? He said what? They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. Stopped the mouth of lions. Quenched the violence of what? Fire. Escaped the edge of what? Out of what? Weakness. You are made what? Let me talk a little about it. I used to say that if you think you are weak, that is what qualifies you for strength. It's a matter of fact. Every man that thinks he can do anything in himself is not yet qualified for God to start using him. Yes. Go and ask people like Jacob. Jacob was wise. He was able to maneuver his way through many things. There is a preaching I would have given to you. I gave my brothers the other day. The scripture testified to us about a man called Nathanael. Who is Nathanael? If I ask you now, you say he's one of the disciples of Jesus. You are not. Who is Nathanael? I don't have time. Maybe one day we'll go to his. Do you know who is Nathanael? He was the one that the scripture testified about, Jesus speaking. He said, behold an Israelite in whom there is what? No guile. Meanwhile, after that season, the scripture began to say that the man believed. And Jesus said, just because I told you this, you believe. He said, don't worry. After now, you will yet see the glory of God. And what does he say? He said that you will see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, you will not understand that scripture until you go to the source code. The source code of that scripture was the encounter that a man had. You know, I was telling you about Jacob, that the scripture testified that a certain people, out of their weakness, was made what? Jacob was strong for many seasons. So when we go to the source code, one of the things we find out is that there is a man called Jacob, and his identity in the spirit is God. Meanwhile, there was an encounter that he had before he had that encounter. One of, are you with me? In that encounter, he said, he saw the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending. He said he looked upon him and he saw Yahweh sitting there. That was the same thing that Jesus told Nathanael, that you will yet see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know, and detecting to him the season that is about to come, that via the Son of Man, that every man that has received a certain hand posture will experience the open heavens of God. Because the Son of Man, his principal ministry is to bring the dimensions of God's open heaven. Are you with me? Meanwhile, the man Nathanael had an accreditation from Jesus. He said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is what? No God. That means they have posture that men have. their motives, the content of their heart affects the possibilities that they have in engaging God. Are you with me? So two people will engage God on the same basis, the same platform, the same possibility, the same window was open to them, but what they will experience in that thing, the extent to which they will profit from the vista that God has opened, is dependent on the heart posture that they take. Are you with me? He said, this is an Israelite in whom there is no God. Meanwhile, the man that had that experience before was known as the supplanter. In fact, the name Jacob means God. So, when Nathaniel was given that promise, he was an Israelite in whom Jacob was taken away. So when a man has come to a point where Jacob is taken away from him, then he will experience all dimensions of God's open heaven. Are you with me? Meanwhile, I need to tell you about Jacob too, because it was Jacob that was taken away so that Nathaniel will be able to experience the open heavens of God and will be endowed with the largesse of heaven. So much so that you will forget that you are weak. You will forget that you are a lady. You will forget. Are you with me? When you begin to speak for God, you will, faces like me will forget that my name when I was small, 9 years old, is Chedukwuoku. Doc, I know you don't understand this. I just hope you understand the whole language, because if I explain it in English, it will lose its meaning. It will lose its meaning. My name is Chedukwuoku. They will be touching me like this. Talk, talk. You know they talk. Why you know they talk? Why you don't? Why will you just be here observing us, looking at us? You won't talk. I finished the whole of primary one. I don't talk. The only thing I can do then that was soldier is football. Finish. After football, you're on your own. That's where we can do something. Are you with me? But remove me from there. So he said that his sister saw him, and then started asking, is it the same shame who we know? I said, out of weakness was what? I don't care about your weakness. No, I said, if you go to heaven, I said, I am weak. I am from this family. They will say, we don't recognize these things. You see, what we see in you is strength. What we see in you is a prince. What we see in you is a warrior. What we see in you is a mighty man. Are you with me? What we see in you is a conqueror. What we see in you is a testimony and a testament to a generation. You come and say, I am weak. That weakness is what qualifies you to begin to experience the deep dimensions of God's empowerment walking inside of a man. Because we may see a strong man being used by God, it doesn't offer us much of an example. It is not much of a model. But when we begin to see a man, some of you have lived with me. You have seen me hungry. Is it not? You have seen me. You have seen me displeased. You have seen me angry. You have seen me hungry. You have seen me everything. So when you see me strong, you will know that I'm a normal man like you. That God has worked for us. So if you didn't see me like that, you will not have hope. You will not believe that God can help a man. You will not know that there were days a man was weak. Are you with me? If you knew me before, well, probably I was proud, probably I was timid, probably I was weak, probably I can't talk, probably I can't do anything. And then you see me now, and the grace and strength of Jehovah is now forced into my being, and I become an embodiment of might. Then it will be obvious for you that on that day the scripture is fulfilled before you. Just like Jesus said, this day this scripture fulfilled, that out of weakness many we are made strong. Are you weak? You are qualified for strength. When I was young, they testified about me. Certain people were saying, and you are not too wise and all that. But when my father, many years later, my father sent me to go and pastor a church, do you know what he told me? He didn't tell me you are anointed, that's why you will succeed. No. He said you are wise, that's why you will succeed. I was not like that before. I was not like that. Out of foolishness, God will make out a wise man. People will try. try to trace the source of your wisdom, they cannot, because it is a product of encounters, furnished into convictions. The oppression cannot be demystified by anything that is natural. When men begin to trace you naturally, they can't get it. They will have to go to the source code, the eternal dimensions of God's work. That is what God wants to bring you into. Are you with me? Be with your master. God sent us as a sign and a wonder to this our generation. It is good that you know me before. It is very good. So that when you know me later, you will know what God can make out of a man. I am sure about that. I will continue leaning on the Holy Ghost to quicken me. I will continue leaning on Him to empower me. I will continue leaning on Him to set in me. I will lay hold on might. After that, my testimony will be that out of weakness I was made strong. And men will see me and believe on Jehovah. The testimony of our God will be kept. Eh? The testimony of our God will be perpetuated for generations. Simply because I obeyed and walked with God. And my name was counted amongst the mighty men. He said, men like Samson, men like Jephthah, men like Deborah. They were men. That's how big my heart is. That's why you can withstand what your own cannot withstand. If you know what goes on in my heart, that I'm still able to sustain and do what I'm doing, if they give you 100, you will faint. Ask God for strength. If some of us, if you see a man that coordinates all those issues, do you even know what God is doing in heaven? 10 billion people, some of them saying there is no God. Yet He still gives them food. Don't you think God is a strong person? Judith, how strong is God? My people used to say that your kindred, you don't become greater than your kindred, but you can become stronger than them. Do you know what it means? It means that sometimes the warfare in your family and around you, you don't eliminate them. What you do is just you grow too strong for them that they will stop insulting you. It happens to them. There is many people, things around my everywhere they were. They were doing many things until I grew too large. When I learned the secret, even now, that is what I'm. You know, the reason why some people. Many people are trying to say God did this one, you are not strong enough. When you become strong enough, even as they don't like it, they will admit that you have become too strong. You have become too strong for envy. Are you with me? You have become too strong for persecution. If not, they will persecute you till you lose your calling. You don't know what I'm saying. They will push you to stop praying, push you until you stop. But when you cry in the night and the cancer that is holding your mother lives, that day you have become too strong. When you cry in the night and your father that doesn't have a way to feed you people, you will tell him that you will receive a contract today. At least 100,000, and he comes back with 120,000. He won't tell you tomorrow. As you are coming here, he will tell you, do you have transport? He won't tell you, but he will give you transport. Whatsoever you are doing is now working. My friend, lay hold on my know what it means? You act valiant in fight. Do you know what it means? As you are, fighting, you are even growing. You are growing. No, when you fight, you should reduce in strength. No. These men, as they are fighting, they are growing larger. Yeah. Yesterday, when you met me, I was only able to slaughter 100. I'm being shot. Hey! 100 people. You now met me 3 weeks later, I slaughtered 1,000. You met me 1 year later, I slaughtered 10,000. You met me 10 years later, 1 million. I mean, in my altar, this is what I mean. By slaughter, I don't mean you go and be looking for someone. I mean, on your altar, you weep one night like this. Eh? And 1,000 people will be brought into the kingdom and born again, inclusive of the chief priests of your village days, the shrine in your village. You need to trust God for my soul, so that you start converting. The reason why, sometimes the reason why witchcraft continues is because they are witches. If all the witches are tongue speaking, we don't see the witchcraft. Witchcraft, I said, is like baptism in the Holy Ghost. When they give you, you shock and you can give another person. That can you now understand it? When anybody that is baptized in the Holy Ghost that spoke in tongues can baptize another person, and the person will speak in tongues, and then that person can baptize. Then when you become a master, a chief master, you can gather 100 people and say, "Do you want it?" That's why chief masters in witchcraft, when they are in this territory, they can gather all of you in the night. What you notice is that one day you started flying. How you started flying, you are not aware. Nobody invited you, but you started flying. I tell you, some people came in the territory and people started loving God. The day you started, you didn't know. There are some people that said, "Nobody preached to me, I got born again in my life." What you didn't know is that a principality sat over you. That you didn't see the person physically doesn't mean anything. Some people, they wanted to pray one day, nobody laid hands on them, they began to speak in tongues. And they said, "Nobody pray for me." Now, there is a higher level of, just like witchcraft has a higher level. They don't need to meet you in the night and give you cake physically. No. In the night, when they cook the territory, incubate the territory, you will start flying. Now this is the point I'm also going. I needed to touch it. He said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and what? Scourges. Yet, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. You can't only be talking of the things you can do. You also talk about the things that will be done to you. There are people that suffered 1/10 of what you suffered and they died. Yes. There are people that suffered 1/10 of what you suffered, they backslided. Why is not killing you is what Satan doesn't understand. There is a way Satan wants you to behave. Do you know? You don't know. The least of the ways he wants you to behave is to start operating by the flesh. You will try to get retribution by the flesh. And there are a few things you can do by the flesh. And then you will regain your masculinity. They will not say, "You are here." No. When you are strengthening on the inside, it will seem that thing that can shake somebody down, it will seem as if nothing happened to you. Have you seen where they beat the ego? There is a testimony that our people used to give about the ego. He said that the rain that beat the ego just went and washed away the ego, made it cleaner than it was before. But if he beats your head, your native chicken, cold will kill him. But for the ego just became meter. The rain that was supposed to beat down the ego washed him out. And he became pure like the scripture said, your faith, being tried in patience, came out as what? Pure gold. that was supposed to bring you down purified your faith. You became an atheist, somebody that men can testify of the genuineness of the work of God upon your life. See, so when we are growing and in pain, all the kinds of things that was happening to us, we didn't know that the day will come like this, where a generation will be baptized with our spirit. If I say, let's start praying now, the baptism is such that even physically, you will receive a hunchback. If we say, let's start praying now, you will do like this. It's a spirit, oh. It's a spirit, oh. He's a spirit, oh. If you try it, say, I don't want to do it. Now, like, when you have not started praying, when you start praying, you will be doing like this. You will know what is even my mother have done. He said, they were sown asunder. Do you know what it means? They brought them like this. You saw and divided them. We are tempted, we are slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom? What? How long will you live until the world will not be worthy of you? How long? How long? Men that the world is not worthy, they are the men of might. You need strength to, the seasons are coming and the things will get easier. You need strength to be a martyr. Are you with me? There are people that they told them that they will die. They said, let's do it fast now. In fact, those days there was competition. What is the competition? People used to be angry that they were not martyrs for Jesus. Because they studied the scripture, and it seems as if there is a special place in the heart of God for men that died as martyrs. They say, where is my own? So when they came to the Roman Colossus, they released Zion, cut off their head. They'll be rushing out with joy. Is it your turn tomorrow? They will say, glory. They will not be praying for you to be delivered. They will be praying for your own to pass. Other what is bothering you? Let's test it. Let's bring it. There's what we call the checkers of the sanctuary. We measure the tokens of your bodies according to the demands of heaven. You will notice you are lightweight. That's why God can't do serious business with you now. I see many people cry out for God to use them. There is little or nothing God can do with them because their heart is lightweight. They have not touched the bodies of the eternal one. Are you with me? Something wrote Jesus. He said, I am a seeding sorrowful. What can hold Jesus and he will say, I'm exceeding sorrowful? You have not touched God well. I said, there are things we call riches, true riches, things like hunger and burden. True riches cannot be measured with anything that is mundane, but they are substances, currencies in the spirit with which you can buy. Are you with me? You can buy with hunger, you can buy with burden. That means it's riches. Are you with me? But it cannot be equated. It cannot be measured with anything that is today. We have many lightweight. You can't die for Jesus the way you are. Corona, everybody disappeared. Hey, Jesus, God will help my generation. It's a burden I want to pass to my generation. Corona, everybody hit. Serious things have not happened. Serious things have not happened. I need to tell you, one of the reasons why God took me serious is the decision I took in 2018. Because it was then that they were slaughtering people in the place I went to in the north. In fact, one day in the morning, I'm not sure you people have been there that time. One day, I don't know if you are there. One day in the morning, they said people are coming through. What was this village before Macon? Eh? No. That one is a town. No. If they are coming from the east. So that is their name. not a state. No, no, no. That is a town. Adiade is safer. After, just before you enter, that is a general name. So they said the people have reached there and they are killing you. My brother, inside where we are staying, we did an intelligence security meeting in the morning. We finished praying, but we did security meeting. We started, I know you don't believe this. We look for weapons, brought some few spares that is in the house. We were regretting that there was no gun. So you don't believe. That's, I'm telling you. Well, I didn't know. Me, I prayed through the night. I would pray after groaning. I was even waiting for the time. I told my mother I want to die some years ago. She said, God forbid, I rebuke it for you. But there is a reason why we speak the way we speak. It's not going to get better. People don't die because they face death. They die because they don't have might. When a man is very strong, you don't die. The people that die are weak people, though. That is why that scripture you spoke, he said, Rachel weep for her children. Yeah? Because the truth is that her children were slaughtered. What is the challenge? The challenge was in the days that close were fighting. Yeah? You decided to be a child. And when a man becomes weak and a child, in the days that close were fighting, you become victims of the confrontation of close. Are you with me? Don't be weak or you become a victim. You need to be mighty. Might is not just to fight. Might is, when you become mighty and strong, there are many warfare that will run away from you. You don't know there are many people that is afraid of you. Try it. If you gym now and your chest is like this and you are passing on the road, there are many. You see some of these people that are saying they know they hear them. Not before you. Those days there is a guy that used to be macho, he used to be 6 feet plus in UNM. If he gyms, his chest is like this, he will come out to the where we play football and use one of his fingers and carry two people on his back. One finger, carry two people on his back and be doing press up. Hey! All of us will come out and be clapping. That guy, your cortis is not for him. He will gather all of you and slap you. Are you not getting the point? Cortis is for weak people like you. After they collected my phone, one day I became strong in God. I was now moving through long tennis by 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I was looking for the guy that collected my phone. I want to let me see how your gun may work. When a man is full of might, even if you shoot him gun, you don't go enter. Even if God says that that is the day you will die in glory, you won't feel it. Yes, we are not afraid of death. The reason why men are afraid of death is because there is no might inside of them. When might has killed them, the scripture spoke about this name. They said they were valiant in fight. When you enter warfare, that's why if they shoot you, all of you will hide. In the days, if you see real warfare, there is one warfare movie I watched. If that shooting of men are dying, others are saying, their leader will be shouting, be going. People are dying, they are going. What we make men be going to where people will die? Jesus help my generation. Oh. I told you people earlier in the year, anywhere you see me, I will be collecting offering. Yeah? I will be collecting offering of Matthias. I will drop offering box and be collecting offering. You have lived too long. We need your cause. We need, are you with me? And I found out if you count yourself as dead indeed, if you live in such a way that this your life is not something that Satan can use and shake you, you know what? You will not die.
Yes, sir.
That's how people like Jesus, do you know all the things he did when they said he wanted to save? Nah, me, it's me that wanted to die. You did. hear me? People like Jesus decide, because of the assignment that was given to him, that it is expedient that he now dies. He said, I laid down my life. You are not the one that killed me. You can't kill me. Paul came to the point, he said, that you can't, nobody can kill me. You can't kill me. I am the one that can. What does this man know? They carried John and put on the island of Patmos, and he had the greatest encounter ever. They are not with you. Watchman Nee was put in prison. That's where he did the greatest ministry, inside prison. They are not with you. For the man that understands this thing, nothing is a limitation, nothing is a weakness, nothing is a disadvantage. He takes advantage of every disadvantage. For men that understand this, in the new devices during this lockdown, there are ministries that are shut down because of lockdown. And there are those that actually became something because of this lockdown. There is a body. Can you feel the body? Because I will need you to pray for 3 minutes. 3 minutes is not enough. And I don't know how you are going to pray for that 3 minutes. Now, look, let me read something for you. Of whom the world were not worthy, the wonder in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And this all, having what? Obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. You are not with me. Why? He said, God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You are not with me. The mighty men of old, men like Sweet Wigglesworth, men like Irene Semple McPherson, men like John Gilead, men like William Seymour, Daddy Seymour, the one that prayed for 5 years and said, let the Spirit be poured again like on the day of Pentecost. God said, give me 2 more years. He added 2 more years, and the Holy Ghost fell on Los Angeles, Azusa Street. Apostolic faith mission. The Holy Ghost fell, and it felt like the days of Acts of the Apostles. God moved on the streets. And when you come to their meeting, you dare not preach if the Holy Ghost was not the one moving. Mighty men as of old. Yes, men like Charles Finn, Charles G. Finn. Charles will enter a meeting and will be preaching. If the men will come and be, do you know what is a fee? A fee is that somebody built, you know that thing that they put in farms that looks like a human being. They will mold it like him and cut off the neck in the streets. That is him. John will receive. Charles will still be preaching. Charles Finney. Have you heard of men? Men like Father Nash. You have not heard of Daniel Nash. Daniel Nash was a minister preaching. The season came, he retired from preaching like Jesus and went into intercession. You see, him and Charles, we move for meetings. Father Nash, we go into a bar where they keep hell and go and stay there and grow. And a woman came and said, there is a man here, you see, as if he's sick. Nobody has seen. He has not seen sunlight for 3 days, neither has he eaten for 3 days. He said, give me these souls, oh God. Bend your heart by all means. After 3 days, he will collect your heart. He will come and tell Charles, I have collected your heart from the gods of the gates of hell. And then Charles will speak, and men will be caught in their hearts. When Charles speaks, many people will enter. There is a place that they call the room of inquiry. People, he said that they do soul searching. You know, people say that there is no new way you get born again. That is why their born again experience does not last. Because men that get born again in those days, it was by encounter. Their soul was searched. And the things, their weakness, the things that will hamper their growth in God was searched out and dealt with. By the time they surrendered to Jehovah, it was onward journey. There was nothing limiting them. It is because there were no rooms of inquiry now. That's part of it. That's where we are going to. A season will come. When we call for altar call, we stay with people in the room of inquiry sometimes for 2 weeks. What is happening? We will search out all your weaknesses. That's why somebody is born again and masturbation is still holding him after 2 years of being born again. Lies, all kinds of things, because he didn't enter the room of inquiry. That is where the Holy Ghost with the convicting power searches out and conquers all your ways. When you come out, you are really born again. You'll be moving without obstruction and weights in your heart. Men that got born again in the meetings of Charles G.P., they said that 70% of them or thereabouts stayed through to the end because of the weight and the man that is called Padanash. Padanash. But the scripture said that their ministry, those mighty men, they were not counted complete. Have you heard of men like William Branham? Branham will enter South Africa and begin to use word of knowledge and call them in their native names. Branham, you have not heard of Branham. When he begins to minister like this, a halo, a light, a glow will stand on his head. A human being like you, he was operating the same dimension of angelic ministry. Are you with me?
Yes,
William Branham. Who is Branham? Who is Branham? People like Charles Wesley, John Wesley. John Wesley will appear and preach here 3 times. They will stone him and continue preaching. Preach on the 7th day, 3,000 gave their life to Christ. Who is John Wesley? Who is John Wesley? Have you not heard? You have not heard? They are men. They are men, mighty men that walk this path. Men like Paul. Men like Peter. Men like David. They are them that you are not aware of. Some of them were born in the Catholic Church of those days. You have not heard of them. St. Augustine of Hippo. These were the men that stood and made sure that the testament and testimony of the doctrines of the scripture was not corrupted by men. Are you hearing me? These are heavy men. They stood. And the scripture still said that they were not complete because they are not there. I say your rank is waiting for you. The fire has not yet been filled because you have refused to rise up to the mighty men that God has ordained you. He said, these men were not made complete because you are not there. You are the one that is stopping the complete movement of God. Men like Archbishop Benson in the Hossa, you have no heard of him. The man that appeared and the first miracle he did was to raise a man from the dead. Men like Apostle Ayo Babalola that went and came and converted the whole branch of witches. But the scripture said, yes, they are not made complete. Because you are not there. These are the roll call of mighty men. Somebody put your name there in 1 minute. Tell God, if you will mantle me with strength, my name will be reckoned with the mighty men that is of old. Ayeko Salama.